I thought seriously about, well, I was afraid last night I wasn't going to be able to, and I thought about calling Seth, but I just, and what I'm going to preach this morning is what I would have preached tonight, but just in case I can't, this is more important. That's why that I just have to. This is something I've been thinking about for a while. And it's just one of those messages that's really important. And I hope that it will really stick with you and you'll listen and understand and you'll do something about it in your life. I want to ask you a question this morning, but first let's read the verse. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. I hate to just pull a verse out of context there, but I think it's all right this morning because there's a message in this verse just by itself. It'll stand alone and do okay. It won't twist a thing by taking it out of context. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. So, I just want to ask you a question this morning. Will your personality ruin your life? You know, it's painful to watch people destroy their lives and the lives of other people with their messed up and offensive personality. Everybody here's got a personality. Yeah. It's who we know you as. There's another word, individuality. That's how you know yourself. I mean, that's what you think of yourself. Your personality is what we see and what we think. Your personality, it's the kind of person you are. And it's the main factor in your happiness or misery. You need to get that. Your personality is the main factor in whether you're going to have a happy, good, blessed life or you're going to have a wretched life full of trouble and rejection and malice and envy and strife. Personalities cause that. Personalities are the trouble everywhere you go. And not yours only, but the people you're around. Your personality affects the people you're around as a blessing or a curse. That's right. We like people or we don't like them, don't we? Mm-hmm. You're the same way.
That's true.
Now, as a Christian, we're to be long-suffering and patient. We're to put up with other people. Mm-hmm. We're to forbear. Understanding that people are just people and people are personalities and most everybody's messed up some way. And everybody's going to have something that we're going to have to just put up and with and endure. That's right. People don't stay married anymore because they don't have that in an inkling in their training or their upbringing or their thinking or their philosophy of life. It's all about me. Individualism. Me. And maybe that'll be clearer as we go along here. But I've watched his personalities have destroyed homes and marriages and families. I mean, I've seen it with my own eyes. And I know what caused it. And it wasn't any real issue. It was just their personality was so rotten and sour and disagreeable and offensive and poisonous. People call them, toxic people. Well, that's what they're talking about when they say toxic person. It's their personality. You just can't get along with them. You can't tolerate them. They're just so offensive. They're just so abrasive. They're just so weird, you know? Yeah. I've watched personalities destroy children and turn them into menaces to society.
Yes, sir.
You know, if parents are weird, their children are going to be weird.
Right.
If parents are foolish, their children are going to be foolish.
Right.
It just happens that way. Your personality is made of what you are around and impressed by and the example that is set before you. I've seen personalities destroy careers. and companies and friendships. And it was personalities. It wasn't any other problem. It's just that personality that was just stunk up the whole atmosphere. I watched as personalities destroyed churches and ministries and families there. I've watched churches destroyed for nothing more than somebody's personality. That is a rotten shame.
Yes, sir.
That's a tragedy that had not ought to be. I've seen personalities destroy mission works.
Yeah.
In fact, when you look at it closely, just about all the trouble and destruction in the world happened as a result of personalities. We have a different president now because of his personality, not his policies.
That's right.
Personalities are what start wars. Y'all know how World War I started, don't you? Well, it was over some notes written between people and some other things that happened there. But if you ever read that story, you'll figure it out. It could have been avoided if it hadn't been for personalities conflicting. So that's the reason. What we're looking at here, you think, well, I'm just me. Well, no, we're going to get to that in a minute. I'm going to pound that in a minute here, because with the truth,
amen.
Personality can be changed. And in fact, it is changed by the influences of others on us. Personality is kind of a fluid thing. You do change. It is an absolute fact that you do change. There's not a person in this room probably that's of any age like us older ones that wouldn't say, I'm a different person than I was 40 years ago. And that is a fact. What am I saying? Oh, well, my personality is different than it was then. Hopefully, I've learned how to be more gracious and more loving and more considerate and compassionate and patient with other people. Learn to be more considerate of other people instead of living in my own little world like a bull just bumping everybody that gets in reach of me. Some people they change the other way. If personality can be changed, then it ought to be changed when it's destructive and offensive and a curse to others and ourselves. If your personality has some flaws, and I'm sure all of us do, it's not my duty to point out yours, and it's not your duty to point out mine. What we need to do, our duty, our responsibility, is to go look in the mirror and take a real good, honest look at ourselves. Try as hard as you can to look at yourself through somebody else's eyes.
Yes.
I've thought a lot of times it'd be good if there was just somebody taking a video of us, or
yes,
somebody recording a sound of our voice as we holler at our wife or our children, or as we carry on in our real personality. Gary's talking a while ago about a pastor who's a different person in the pulpit than he is out any other place. And see, that's the way a lot of people are. They have a different personality in private than they do in public. You've heard of people with dual personalities, multiple personalities. What is that when you get into psychology and all that, and psychiatry? Well, yeah. What is it in Bible language? It's demon possession. You're under the influence of evil spirits so much that you have different personalities. It's a thing, it's another thing where the devil can really get in and mess us up. But it ought to be changed if it can be changed, and it can. Most people confuse individuality and personality, and I don't mean to try to pretend to be some educated person here this morning, but it's just two words that we just need to understand. We used to read My Utmost for His Highest a lot. We haven't for a few, 2-3 years now, but we've read it over and over and over. And Oswald Chambers, he used that a lot. He used those two words. I remember reading, and I never could quite grasp what he's trying to say, but I think I do now.
Yeah.
Individuality is, most people confuse it with personality. They believe their personality is what makes them a unique individual. Are you listening to me? But it is individuality that ruins the personality. Individuality is our claim to the right to ourselves. And it's the root cause of a foul and wretched personality. And just hang on to that. And maybe you'll understand what I'm trying to say here in a minute. Basically, individuality, the fact that I'm a separate person, and I'm my own person, and I'm different than everybody else, and I'm unique. Well, there's a truth there. And it is true. But people we've all turned in this generation to that to excuse our rotten personality. And our personality's rotten because of our individuality. We've made a god of ourselves. Individuality is our claim to our right to ourselves. So basically, individuality is selfishness and the habitual putting of ourselves before others in our actions, our conversation, and in our mind. Now, that's what sin has done to individuality. Yes. The carnal person without God exalts individuality above their personality. Mm-hmm. Yep. I am what I am. Take it or leave it. You must accept me as I am, because this is who I am. And that covers a lot of people. Some people give and do things for others and appear to be benevolent, but their murmuring while they're doing it reveals the attitude of their heart. Yes, sir. And then you got other people who are just openly and habitually bitter and suspicious and hateful toward other people. And so they both have the same problem. Individuality makes it always makes everyone else the enemy or potential enemy in your mind. See, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. Listen what it says. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Well, he's talking about being enemies with God. But Ishmael was a man who was against every man and every man's hand against him. And that's kind of how it is with people who have a rotten personality. Mm-hmm. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Can't get along with anybody very long. Y'all know anybody that, they'll go. I know people real close who, when they show up, everybody loves them at first. Yes. But it don't take long. Yeah. These are the people who are always changing fellowships, changing friends, changing locations, changing their life is continually changing because they got to keep. They're nomads. They got to move to a new pasture because ain't nothing left here. And as they're leaving, people are pushing them because they don't want them around because you mess up everything. Your presence, it's like they bring a stench with them. The consequences when a person makes their individuality their personality are very tragic and are multiplied from generation to generation. It is a generational thing. You pass this to your children through your influence.
Yes,
you do.
Yes.
Both ways. You know, I've said this before, but a kind, soft-spoken mother who's calm will have calm, soft-spoken children. It just happens that way. Your personality is what others perceive you to be, and your individuality is what you think you are. Most people live in the fantasy that others see them like they see themselves. They live their life in this delusion and make a mess of things for themselves and their offspring for generations. If any man think himself to be something, he is nothing. I read that again this morning. The new birth unites our personality with Christ and transforms our individuality so that it is about being conformed to Christ instead of trying to be the God of the universe ourselves. We become, when we're born again, our personality is united with Christ. That's why we're called Christians, because we're like Him. And we start being made like Him in His personality, His character. You hear it all the time. People say they want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. If I said to you, how many of you want to be more like Jesus? You'd all raise your hand. But what are you talking about? Well, we want to be like Him in His personality, don't we? Never man spake like this man. So, I'm a unique individual committed to Christ and available for His use as He sees fit. And my personality is under the influence of His personality more than anything or anyone else in this world or in the spiritual realm. I belong to Christ. So, He's my example. And He's the greatest influence on my life. On my personality. The attitude of this ungodly generation that we live in is that you can't change yourself. And you shouldn't have to. Because people have to accept you for what you are. Now think about all the spectrum that covers now. Even to gender, sexual orientation, color. If somebody thinks they're black and they're not black, you're supposed to believe they're black. Treat them like you think they are too. Although you're not supposed to notice anything like that. It's an insane asylum we're living in.
Yes, sir.
The attitude of this ungodly world is that you can't change. Well, let me tell you something. That's a lie. Upside down and backwards. That is a lie. You can change yourself.
Yes, sir.
It's largely because of the teaching of the inherent sinful nature and the inability of man in the churches. That's what's taken over the mindset of the entire world. And it came right out of the church. That you're just born that way and you can't help it. That you just got a sinful nature that controls you and you have no ability to do anything about it. So, no, it isn't any wonder that this generation is not concerned whatever about changing anything about themselves. I am what I am. God made me gay. God made me, really made me a man, but He gave me, let me be born in a woman's body. You know, nonsense. Wickedness.
Yes.
It's not that way. This generation has been taught that they can't change and that Jesus can't change them either. Everyone's just what they are, and we're morally obligated to accept everyone just as they are and not judge them, not criticize them. Not tell them they're wrong. Not act like they're wrong. Just act like abnormal is normal. That's what we're all morally obligated to do in this generation. Well, you're not morally obligated to do no such a thing. The reason we're on a fast train wreck to hell here is because of this very fact. Preachers don't preach to anybody about changing. Oh, God just does everything. No, God doesn't do everything. The Bible says in James, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. There's things that God does that we can't do. But changing our personality is not one of those. You can change the way you are. There's a lot of ways you can do it. Quit hanging around the wretched people that you hang around.
Amen.
Quit listening to the wretched stuff that you listen to and watch and feed your mind with. Don't allow your mind to dwell on the wretched stuff that you let it dwell on.
Yes, sir.
Quit living like everybody's your enemy and out to get you and in your way and frustrating you at every turn. Stop that. Have some charity. Get in the Bible and learn what a Christian is like. Learn what Jesus is like. Get around Him instead of around bad people. You know this old saying, tell me who your friends are and I know what you are. That's true. A lot of truth. We're influenced by those that are around them. It's always some kind of racism now, or discrimination, or injustice to even think that people can be changed and turned away from their destructive thinking and living. You can't say anything is wrong anymore. Not even looting stores and burning down cities. That's not wrong. You got no right to say that's wrong. Unless, it depends on which side you're on, of course, but nobody has any moral obligation to accept sinful, hateful, selfish, wicked, arrogant ways of a wretched, self-centered person. So you just need to quit making excuses for yourself. You got trouble with people? Look in the mirror.
Yes, sir.
First.
Yep.
Oh, there's lots of hateful, wretched people that you can, collide with. But I tell you, the best way we can solve the problem is go look in the mirror. Look in our own heart. Examine our own selves. Try to see ourselves like other people see us. Try to hear what we're saying like other people hear. It's something I've had to learn through the years. I'm still learning because I still do it. In preaching, you say a lot of words. And you cover a lot of ground. And so, inevitably, you're going to say something. And when you're young and green, you do it a whole lot more. You offend people. And it's my personality. It's not the truth of God. It's my personality. And my way I say it that makes them think, it repulses them because of my personality instead of... a lot of preachers think they just don't have the truth. Well, no, it's the way you presented it.
That's right.
Feels bad when you realize you've done that.
Yes, sir.
You know what I do? I resolve, try not to do that.
Amen.
Try to do it in a way like God said to, holding forth the truth in love.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And that doesn't apply just to preachers. That applies to mamas and daddies and husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, and church members with one another. Anybody can and should change the things about them that make them a bane in other people's lives. If your body's filthy and offensive to others and you stink, you can take a bath and fix that problem. Can't you?
Yeah.
I mean, how does it go? How does it fly if you just say, hey, it's just what I smell like. If you don't like it, get away from me. Yeah, you're going to be sitting on a rock somewhere by yourself or in some nasty house all closed up by yourself. People are going to stay away from you. If your language is filthy and offensive to other people, you can just stop using filthy language. You can stop.
Yes, you can.
If you're loud and obnoxious, you can lower your voice and stop talking. Let somebody else talk. You listen. You can do that. If you're disrespectful and haughty and rude to other people, you can stop being that way and start being thoughtful and considerate and respectful. You can.
Yes, sir.
All you got to do is recognize your fault.
Yes, sir.
And say, Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, remind me.
Yes.
You ever do that? He'll do it. I promise you.
Yes.
He's faithful to do that. If you ask him and you're honest and sincere, Lord, help me fix these problems with myself, my personality. He'll do it.
Amen.
You have to have a desire.
Yeah.
See, as long as you're that individual that thinks you're right, and every way of a man, every way of a fool is right in his own eyes, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, I mean, that's the individuality, see. Won't see fault in myself. All I see is fault in everybody else. Well, if I get to everybody else straightened out and get this world straightened out, it'd be a good place to live. If everybody's like me.
Yeah.
So, having an offensive and destructive personality is the result of an undisciplined mind forming bad mental habits.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, I say so much in these little things that I say because I've thought about it and thought about it, and there's so much more to say right there, but that is that's just condensed right down. You know why you got a bad personality? You know why somebody's got a bad personality? They've sat around, they've lived their life, and they've just formed habits. And it started when they were a little child, thinking and communicating with others. As soon as they start thinking and communicating with others, they start forming these concepts like we've been preaching about on Wednesday night, you know, in their mind. And then they get in habits of thinking that way, negative toward other people. Then later on in life, they call that a sinful nature. Well, it just started right there when that child started hearing and listening and watching what he was seeing in other people.
Yes.
And he just adopted it. Little children mimic everything you do. These little ones, like Phoebe back there, she's just like a little parrot. I mean, she's a year and a half old and she's starting to talk. And I mean, anything you say, she'll say it right back to you.
Yes.
And it's that way with everything else. If she watches you do anything, she picks up on it right now. And all children are that way. Yes, these are too. In fact, all people are pretty much that way.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. You have a hard time not picking up stuff from other people. Right. Little mannerisms, little language. You know, our language is continually changing, and I resist it. I hate it. I don't like all these new words and new cliches and new definitions and all of that. I don't like that. Language is not a fluid thing. It ought to stay the same. Gay ought to still mean happy. You know, sin ought to still mean sin. But anyway, I don't want to sidetrack there. When a child starts that, he develops attitudes and dispositions toward other people that are kind and thoughtful and benevolent, according to whatever example is set before him the most.
Yes.
Or he's full of frustration and malice and contempt. And this is mostly by the examples that he's watching in the home in which he lives.
Right.
Now that's just how it is. I wish I'd have known this. Wish I could have heard this 40 years ago. I believe it would have made a lot of difference in my children, in myself, in my life, in a lot of other people since that I've known in the last 40 years. Somebody would have just shook me and said, "Listen to me. This is what's going to happen, and this is what's happening right now." It quickly becomes a habit of his thinking. So his personality either becomes sweet or it becomes and pleasant, or it becomes bitter and hateful, and he's just trouble everywhere he goes. Just button heads everywhere he goes. Can't get along at school. And then later he can't get along at work. And then later he can't get along in a marriage. And he can't get along with his children. Because his personality developed that negative attitude toward everybody else. Y'all following me here?
Yes.
I mean, is it too scattered that you're not gathering all this up here? If this personality, if this child's personality develops into this latter kind, it's hateful and bitter and trouble everywhere he goes. If it's that kind, then he'll face rejection everywhere he goes, which will only add to his bitterness and contempt for other people. Because everybody hates me. They just, it's just everywhere I go, people treat me like this.
It's true.
And it just compounds everything. And it just hardens him even harder. Convinces him more that he's right about everybody. They're all mean and hateful. Well, it's him. Kindness and gentleness and patience and compassion is a universal language. Anybody can understand that. You treat somebody kindly. You speak to them kindly and gently. And they respond to that. I don't care who they are. Try it. Yeah, well, about there. How about, yeah. So he's destructive to himself and to all those around him. And when it's all said and done, you listening to me, it would have been better if he'd have never been born. when it's all summed up at the great white throne judgment, it would have been better. Never been born. Habits can be formed, and habits can be changed. And a bad personality is simply bad habits of thinking that produce ugly actions on the outside and ugly words and mannerisms and attitudes that other people read real clear. And you get in such a habit of it that you don't even realize you're being that way. Personalities are made from the influence of other people. Our personalities form most by the examples that are before us. People are very easily influenced by those around them, and they pick up on attitudes and language and mannerisms and moodiness and imitate it until it becomes who they are. People get tired, some of my kids get tired of hearing this, but when our kids were little, they were real bad at this. Seth was really bad. He's more outgoing and more of a people person. So he was always, even when he was little, was always watching people, and he would pick up on little things. And you remember Mark and Darren. And Darren, I believe, which one was stuttering at that time? Mark, he stuttered. Seth went over and played with them a while, and he come back and did Dad. And I said, "Now you stop that." I said, "You do not stutter, and don't you do that." But he'd just been with him a few hours, and my mom, I mean, he was doing it like that. And one of them had this habit of blinking his eyes while he's looking at you. And as I looked down and said, I said, "You quit blinking them eyes, or I'm going to box you, boy." But that is how it is. These little children, they pick up, especially little children, but everybody is that way. Who you listen to and who you allow to talk to you and put things in your mind, you start talking like them. And not only talking, but you start thinking like them. They transfer their thought habits and patterns right onto your mind, and you just absorb it and you start doing the same thing. So our personality is formed out of other people. The ones we're around. Loud, hateful, angry parents will have loud, hateful, angry children almost 100% of the time. And they'll also have children that are mental and social wrecks looking for a place to happen. Kind, soft-spoken, gentle parents will generally have children that are the same, but not always. Because of the bad influence of others that may win out in these children. Because of the sin that abounds in the world. Did you ever notice that a child will pick up on the bad things first? Yes. So that's your sinful nature. No, that's the spirits of devils that you're allowing in your home. And allowing in your personality. That's what it is. You need to stop thinking in that other realm and get into the realm where it's real, spiritual. It's a spiritual warfare and a spiritual battle. And there, you need to understand that when that little kid hears a dirty word and then they repeat it, you need to realize how that happened. There's not something in their genes, in their body, in their physical makeup that did that. That's a spirit of a devil that arrested their attention. To get their mind, to get them to keep that. I believe that. Now, whether you do or not, you just make up your own mind. I'm just telling you how to deal with it. I'm just about done here. We need to realize the importance of our personality and how it can be the ruination of our life and the lives of our loved ones and others. Nothing affects our life more than our personality. Do you realize that? Right. Nothing affects my life more than the way people perceive me.
Yes.
Yes. And same with you. The way others perceive us and the effect that we have on other people determines the worth of our life here on earth or our reward or punishment in eternity, and our reward and punishment in eternity. The way people perceive us and the effect that we have on others. Do you understand that? It's not the good deeds that I do. It's not the fact that I come to church faithful, although you ought to come to church faithful. If you want to hear about that, come back tonight. But I mean, anyways, it's not a doing of something that I do. It's my effect on other people. You know, it's not what God does for me. It's His influence over my soul and my mind, my heart, my thinking is what makes all the difference in the world. See?
Yes.
Y'all follow me there? How do people perceive you? Our personality, the impression, concept that we leave in other people's minds with our words and the way we say them, with our deeds that we do to them or that they know about us doing to other people, our attitudes, our disposition toward others, that's what defines us to other people.
That's right.
That's what other people decide who we are and what we are. Those things. They watch us. They listen to us. And they make a decision. Real quickly, too, by the way. They don't take years to form an opinion of you.
No.
30 seconds. They've already... They're finishing the concrete. So, Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And loving favor rather than silver and gold. That tells you right there you ought to do something about your personality.
Yes, sir.
If a man would have friends, he must
show
himself friendly.
That's right.
If you're not a friend, you can't have a friend.
Exactly. That's right.
You got to be a friend before you can have a friend.
That's...
Ecclesiastes 7:1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of one's death than the day of one's birth. It's the personality that we love or hate, not the individual. You know, it doesn't matter to me if a person's black or red or yellow or blue, or I don't care what color they are or what nation they came from. I don't even care about what religion they are as far as what I think of them as an individual. They're an individual. They're a person that Jesus died for. They're a soul.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. It don't matter if they're black or white or yellow or red or what color they are. If they're a rotten, wretched person, that's what I don't like. And you don't like it either. I have lived with black people. And I know some that are dear friends. And I know some that ought to be took out and hung. And I know white people the same way.
Yes.
So don't call me racist. I'm not a racist. I'm just like everybody else. Good people sit well with me. Bad people don't. Neither do they with you either. There ain't a person on this earth that loves bad people and hates good people. Not really. Not in their heart. They get real twisted up where they think good's evil and evil's good. But really, there's a conscience in there that troubles them and guides them differently than that. All right, let me hurry up here. Love is the fellowship of different personalities, not individuals. Personalities. As long as we maintain our right to ourselves, we're not partakers of God's love. We can't love others until we quit loving ourselves supremely. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. This is a verse I quote it pretty often. But I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's personality was completely changed.
Oh, yeah.
When he got born again.
Yes, he was.
And that's really true of us also who've been born again. And if it is really true of us, it'll show in our personality too. And others will notice and be affected for good and drawn to God by it themselves. It's Proverbs 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, that's talking about personality, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. It's the personality. That's what it is. See, nobody likes me. It's you. Doesn't matter what you look like, what color you are. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl or whatever you. That don't have any. No, people don't dislike people because of their individuality. They because they're an individual. They dislike them because of that personality. Or they love them because of that personality. I know people who had potential beyond comprehension for doing something good for God's kingdom and winning people to God. They had the knowledge, they had the talent, but their personality destroyed it all. Neutralized it all. And if they would have just looked in the mirror and been honest with themselves and said, you know, that is no way to be. That's offensive to people, and I'm going to stop doing it. A lot of times, it's just the manner in which they speak. Well, being born again through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer for a wretched personality. And by changing our personality and individuality, it also changes the world around us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Then in verse 23, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This goes along so much with what I've been preaching on Wednesday nights. Are out with the old and in with the new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So out with the old man who's corrupt according to deceitful lust. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 and 10. Listen to this. But now ye also put off all these. You know what this means? It means like taking your coat off and putting it away. Put off. Get it off of you. Get it away from you. Get rid of it. Yeah. Get rid of these. It says, anger. An angry personality. How does that go with everybody? No. Wrath. Malice. Blasphemy. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. What do you think of somebody's personality when they lie to you? Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And have put on the new man. That sound like a change to you? Complete change. Now you go to any Baptist church this morning, they'll tell you that you're really two persons. You're an old man and a new man living in the same body, and you're like the black dog and a white dog fighting. To me, that's blasphemy. You're not two people. When I stand before God, He's not going to judge me two or three different ways. I've told you the story a lot of times about the guy that went out. He stole a bunch of stuff and he got before the judge, and the judge said, now, you guilty or not guilty? And he said, well, judge, I'm a Christian. And he said, that was the old man that did that. I'm an old man, new man living in the same body. And he said, the new man didn't do it, it's the old man. So the judge said, well, okay, I'll just sentence both of you to 30 days in jail each. Yeah, because the new man was an accomplice. Well, that's right. Put on the new man. You put off the old man. You put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Yeah. In with the new man who loves and is lovable, whose influence is an asset to the kingdom of God on this earth instead of a detriment. David said in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Your personality reflects your spirit. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's a bunch of bad habits you got of thinking. What you think about everybody else, your attitudes and all of that. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I tell you, I've seen all of the bad things that I've seen happen in the work of God in the last 45 years that I've been involved in, it has been because of personalities. I can just roll the reel through my mind and all the memories I have of the troubles and things. And there it is. These things like this right here. It's just key. It's key. Have peace in your home. Fix the personalities. There ought to be another message about how to do that precisely. Mm-hmm. Just specific things that we need to do. But we don't have time for that this morning. Will you think about this?
Yes, sir.
Will you look in the mirror of God's Word? I'm included in this too. Yeah. I'm still learning, still making changes. Yeah, I really do. There's still things that I say to him, I'm stopping that. I'm going to be careful about that. I'm not going to say that anymore. I'm not going to. And I don't go around telling everybody, hey, you know what I made up my mind about? Nobody even knows. But we can watch each other and we can see some progress if you apply this to your life this morning. Father, we thank you for the truth. We thank you for the help from the Word of God. I pray you'd help us this morning to understand this. I've said a lot, and I know that I've said much more than people can sit still and receive all at once. But I pray, Father, that you'd bless it now and do what I can't do. I can only say words and try my best. But Spirit of God, you can open the understanding and you can plant it in the hearts and minds of everybody that hears this. And Lord, I just pray that it'd be a help. It'd be a turning point for somebody to change their life and change the course they're on. And Lord, it would make such a grand difference in the future. We have no idea when we look into the future what our personality, how it's going to affect the future. Please bless it now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've mentioned this before real quick. I just want to say it again. But we're preaching Genesis and Noah, how he looked at the personalities of each of his three sons and he predicted the history of the world. I mean, he had enough wisdom and experience there. I mean, when you live 950 years, that helps. But he nailed it to a T. What the results of those boys, what their personalities on their generations to the end of the world. There's something to it, real important. And if I just wonder if we would just be honest this morning about, you know, if we just look down the road, we think, well, Jesus is coming, it's about over. Well, maybe, but what if he don't? We're not supposed to live and act like he's coming, you know, and just give up and say, well, you know, whatever happens, happens. Don't matter anyway because we ain't got long here. No, you're supposed to live for your generations following. Amen. I won't keep going. All right.
Amen.
Appreciate everybody being here. Good to see you, Dee and Vinny.
Yes.
Yeah. Good to have you this morning.
Thank you.
And good to have everybody else. I'm glad everybody's back. We've been having one out and another out and this and that and the other. It's been a while since we've been all together like this. Yeah. I think so, yeah. Yeah. All righty. Well, we're dismissed.